got up to Second Kings 21. that was Manasseh. And then we got to 22, and that is Josiah. So I think we'll just start in the beginning of 22 again, just to kind of renew. So it says here in verse 1 of 22, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And I think we read that last time, and I told you, in the original King James, it's all the ways, not way, but all the ways of David his father. And we noted, too, that his father wasn't so great, right? His father was Manasseh. And Manasseh's father was Hezekiah, and he was a good guy. So there doesn't seem to be any prediction of what would make a good king or a bad king or a good man or a bad man. You would think they would see the example of the good king or the good man, the godly man, and see how God blessed them, and they would follow it, but they didn't. Anyway, we'll read on. Last time we looked at Jeremiah chapter 1 to give us a little context of the time, and we noted that Zephaniah and Matthew, Zephaniah is also during the same period, and we noted that in Matthew and the lineage of Jesus Christ that these guys are mentioned, including Manasseh, who it's amazing that he was. Mm-hmm. So, verse 3, it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azariah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord. Okay. If we were to go to Chronicles, which we should, we'll just go to Chronicles 34 and then we'll come back to this real quick. In Chronicles 34, verse 3, we're going to hit. Second Chronicles 34. Talks about the 8th year. Verse 3, of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So here he's 12 years old, and he's already seeing stuff, and he's purging the idols and all that stuff. Huh? Oh, he's 20. Sorry. The 12th year of his reign, sorry. But he's still pretty young, right? And he's doing that. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were high above them he cut down in the groves, and he carved images, and the molten image he break in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their aromatics round about. Now, you know, by this time, there is no kingdom of Israel, right? So he's going into other places round about outside of Judah. And when he had broken down the altars and groves, he had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel. He returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, And Maaziah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord God. Okay, let's go back to Kings. So what I wanted to look at here real quick, well, it's not going to be real quick. Actually, we're going to take a little time. In chapter 22 of 2 Kings in verse 8, it mentions Shaphan the scribe. And scribes are a very interesting group. We don't know exactly when they came into being. There's no requirements in the law of a scribe. And apparently, in the beginning, priests were scribes, and they were the ones that took care of the scrolls. Although the scrolls were available to the general public. Now, this scribe, Shaphan, he has 18 relatives that are spoken of in the scriptures, in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. His grandfather, Meshulam, in 2 Kings. His father, Azaliah. His son, Ahiakim, in verse 12 of this chapter. His son, Gemariah, in Jeremiah 36:10. His son, Elasa, in Jeremiah 29. And his son, Jahazaniah, in Ezekiel 8:11. And his grandson, Micaiah, in Jeremiah 36. And his grandson, Gedaliah, in Jeremiah 39. And it appears that Shaphan's sons and grandsons at least were also scribes. So what is a scribe? Where did they come from? And what did they become? So if you read in the dictionary, it calls a scribe someone that writes down or records records, things like that. Some people refer to newspaper reporters as scribes. A person that's a court reporter transcribes, right? They keep records. The Hebrew word for scribe is sofar. And if you look in the appendix of Bullinger's Companion Bible, there's a thing about the Sofarim, which is described as the plural of Sofer, Sofarim. And they changed Jehovah to Adonai, and I forget which book it is, but there's like 20 different places. The Greek word for scribe is grammatus, which we get the word grammar from. Whatever that means. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. And that's the first usage of the word scribe in the Bible that I found. Now, if it's translated another word, I didn't look that up. So that's on me. But the word scribe itself in the English, this is the first place where it's used. 1 Samuel chapter 8, or 2 Samuel, sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, "And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And Joab the son of Zeruiah was over the host. And Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was recorder. And Zadok the son of Ahidub and Ahimelech, the son of Abimathar, were priests, and Sarah was the scribe." So that's the first usage. Now, the word for recorder is a different word. And apparently that's used, and we'll see it a few other times. Well, and it seems to be that was an administrative thing in the king's court. And they were called recorders, not scribes. Okay? So, let's go to 2 Samuel 20. So, and you'll notice a lot of times that they are mentioned alongside of priests or in connection with priests. In verse 23 of chapter 20, it says, "Now Joab was over all the host of Israel, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and over the Pelethites, and Adoram was over the tribute, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder, and Sheva was scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests." So here again is the priest and the scribe together. Now, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 4. And in verse 1, "So Solomon was king over all Israel, and these were the princes which he had: Azariah, the son of Zadok the priest, Eliahoraph, and Ahiah, the sons of Shisha, scribes, Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud," he's there again, the recorder, "Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the host, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests." So, seems that within the cabinet of the kings of David and Solomon, they had all these guys. They had a recorder. They had guys that were in charge of different things, and they had priests that were there attending and scribes. So it seems that scribes, at the very least, were part of the Levitical line, and many times probably priests. They were students of the law and teachers as well as interpreters of the scripture. Later on, as you get into the later parts of the Old Testament, and especially in the captivity, they become an entity unto themselves, like an institution. And they become very powerful politically and religiously, with a lot of influence. So, 1 Chronicles, chapter 2. And verse 55. There's a whole, this whole chapter 2 is lineage, different tribes and stuff. And it says in 55, "And the families of the scribes, which dwelt at Jabez, and Tirathites, and Shimerathites, and Sukrathites, these are the Kenites that came to Hemath, the father of the house of Rechab." We'll see about Rechab at another time. He was mentioned one time already. He killed the son of Saul, that was the cripple, and then David had him killed. But anyway, here it says that these were families of scribes. So it was a family business, I guess. Chronicles 27, 1 Chronicles 27. And verse 32. Now, this is a really interesting one. "Also, Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hakamani, was with the king's sons." So here's a guy that's in David's family, and he was a counselor and a scribe. And let's go to Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah, chapter 8. And you'll remember this as soon as I read it. Chapter 8, verse 9. It says, "And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha," that means the governor, "and Ezra the priest, the scribe, And the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So Ezra was a priest. So he's of the line of Aaron. And he was also a scribe. So there seems to be a crossover. Now in the New Testament, scribes seem to have had even more power and were often associated with the Pharisees, and possibly some of them were Pharisees. So let's go to Matthew 2. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came a wise man from the east of Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. So here he gathered the priests and the scribes. So apparently at this point, they again have a, you know, a pretty high standing. Chapter 12 of Matthew. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. This is the scribes and Pharisees questioning Christ. He said, we would see a sign of thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And it goes on from there. And then Matthew 16. Verse 21. Well, in verse 20, he charges his disciples, saying that no man... tell no man that he was the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So they're not in good company there, to say the least. So the scribes also seemed to be the ones that copied the scrolls. And they were the ones that put the fence around the scriptures, which is called the Masorah, to ensure accuracy in copying. So if you ever look at a Hebrew manuscript, they have notes on the sides, in between the columns, and over top and on the bottom. And they would count the letters, and they would count the words, and all kinds of different things to ensure accuracy in copying. They also took care of the writings in concerning the oral law and their traditions. So, I don't know a whole lot about the Pharisees and stuff, but I know that they began back during the Babylonian captivity as a reform group. They wanted to go back to, you know, keeping the law, but then they went overboard. And so they wrote all these writings about how you should keep the law, you know. So that's where counting your steps on the Sabbath day came in and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So these guys would oversee these books that were written. And it is believed that they were the ones that established the synagogues after the return from Babylon. As we go along in our studies, these men will pop up on a regular basis. Some were godly, like Ezra, and some weren't. There's one place in the epistles where they're mentioned. If we go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" So at this point in time, they're not too well respected as far as God's concerned. Okay, so now we're going to go back to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32 and verse 12. It says, "And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch." This is Jeremiah. He was thrown in jail and he had gotten some land. And he gave the evidence, the written contract, to Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Mahaziah, the son of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed to the book of the purchases before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this is the evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, of God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed and again in this land. Years ago, Walter Cummins came. Jeff had him come out there and a day in the Word or a weekend in the Word. And he taught about purchasing land in the Bible and how they would make contracts and they put them in these earthen vessels to preserve them. So anyway, this guy here is Baruch. And we go to chapter 36. Verse 4, Jehoiakim is the son of Josiah is the king at this time, and the word came to Jeremiah, and he said in verse 2, take a roll of the book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and goes on from there. Then in verse 4 it says, then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote them from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. So that was Baruch, and he still is involved with Jeremiah. We go to verse 32. And it says, then took Jeremiah another roll, because the king at that time had cut up the scroll, remember that? Mm-hmm. Threw it in the fire. So then Jeremiah took another roll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe. There it goes. It tells us he's a scribe. The son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. Well, the first words weren't so kind, so these were really even more so. And then let's go to chapter 51. And verse 59. And it says, the word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Zariah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaziah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And this Uriah was a quiet prince. And so Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Zariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see, thou shalt read all these words. So apparently this guy, Zariah, also was some kind of scribe of some sort. He was the son of Neriah. He was another son. Baruch was the son of Neriah, right? So he had the same father as Baruch. And it says he was a prince, a quiet prince, which means he was an official or an elder. So there are many more uses of scribes, as you know, probably hundreds, and they're mentioned. And when we see them, when we run across them, we'll note them, and some of them will be significant and some won't. But I just thought it would be interesting to look at because they have a very unusual history. We don't know exactly how they started. Some of them were priests. Some of them were Pharisees. They apparently were all Levites. And maybe at one point the priest did it and then they gave it over to a group. Something like that. Who knows? We don't know for sure. But yeah, we can't guess at it, but they did a lot of crazy stuff. So back to Josiah. Pardon me?
Kings,
yeah, 2 Kings. So we left off in the 18th year of the reign of the king of Josiah. The king sent Shaphan, the son of Azariah, and the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest. So here's, he's sending the scribe to speak to the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it unto the hand of the doers of the work that have oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to prepare the breaches of the house. So, you know, during the time of these unbelieving kings, like Manasseh and his father, they had pretty much beat up the house. They had brought, you know, idols in and, you know, priests of Baal and all kinds of stuff. And they had pretty much beat up the temple. So now they hired workmen to repair it and get it back to the way it was supposed to be. So, verse 6, unto the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered unto their hand, because they dealt faithfully. So they didn't really have any accounting, because these guys were faithful and they trusted them. Now let's go to back to 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 3. Well, we'll skip over the beginning of it. Let's go verse 4, and talking about Josiah and the guys that were with him. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images, and the molten images he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode them upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them, and he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 8. Now the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azariah, and Masariah, and the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, and the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered at the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that they had oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even the artificers and the builders, they gave it to buy hewn stone and timber and couplings to the floor and the house which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. And the overseers of them were Jahath, Obadiah, the Levites, and the sons of all this guy and that guy, and other Levites, and all the skill of instruments of music. Verse 13, and they were over the bearers of burdens and over the overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. So here it says there were Levites, scribes, officers, and porters. Officers were writers or record keepers. And porters were gatekeepers. So, now we go back to Kings. Just gives you a little more detail of what they did. In verse 8 of 2 Kings. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book unto Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again, and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and they have delivered it unto the hand of them that do the work, and they have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribes showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And when it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Milkiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah the servant of the king, saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to unto all that which is written concerning us. So it seems like they hadn't been reading the word. They didn't know what it really said. Apparently, Josiah knew what his father had done was wrong. He got rid of as much of the images and the idols and all the stuff that he could. But when he found the book, then he realized how screwed up everything really was. So Hilkiah, verse 14, the priest, and Ahiakim and Achbor and Shaphan and Azaziah went unto Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Kikvah, the son of Harhas, the keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. Okay, this is kind of interesting. Huldah, the prophetess. These guys are pretty powerful in the kingdom. You know, a high priest and a scribe and guys that are in Josiah's cabinet, I guess you would call it. And they go to a woman to inquire of the Lord, which is pretty unusual in that day and time. But apparently she was known as a prophetess, as a woman of God. And I was looking at the word to see how many prophetesses are mentioned. And it's kind of interesting. The first one is Miriam in Exodus 15. Mm-hmm. If you remember, her and Aaron helped Moses. But at one point, they kind of turned against Moses. And so God put leprosy on Miriam. And Moses prayed for her to be healed, and she was healed. But she was called a prophetess. Then in Judges, there was Deborah the prophetess. And remember her, and she chased that guy, and the guy went and hid in a woman's tent, and she drove a stake through his head. But that was Deborah, and she kind of got out there with the army and led him, and she was a prophetess. Then there's a woman, and I don't even remember this woman. Noadiah in Nehemiah. And we could go there real quick. Nehemiah 6. I don't remember her. But as I was looking through this, I saw her name and said she was a prophetess. Noadiah. Verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So she's mentioned, you know. She was a prophetess. then there's an unnamed prophetess in Isaiah. And then in Luke, Anna the prophetess, she comes into the temple and prophesies over the child Jesus. So that's the prophetesses in the Word of God. I'm sure there were others. You know, think about Hannah. It doesn't say she was a prophetess, but she prophesied when she prayed when she went to see Eli. When she, you know, after she gave her son to Eli to raise.
Mary's mother.
Samuel. She gave Samuel to Eli.
Yeah, but then Mary's mother as well.
Yeah.
When Mary showed up.
Cousin.
Her cousin, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth,
yeah, she prophesied too. So maybe she was a prophetess also. Doesn't say.
Four
daughters of Agabus.
There you go. Oh, yeah. They prophesied, yeah. Well, so there's a bunch of them out there. Just got to look for them that we know of, and there's probably more. Anyway, back to this. So in 15, chapter 22 of 2 Kings, verse 15, and she said unto them, this is Huldah, she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. So, you know, she's pretty cool. She says, here's the word of the Lord. Tell the guy that sent you. She doesn't say the king, but she says, tell the guy that sent you, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, they have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Wow, that's a pretty heavy-duty thing, right?
Yeah.
Shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which hath sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes, and have wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into the grave in peace, and thy eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king the word again. What a great thing to say to him. You know, he what a heart he had. He said, you know, you have a tender heart towards me, and you turn to me. Pretty amazing. Okay, so we get to chapter 23. What a great testimony of Josiah. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. So here, you know, he gathers all these people. So first of all, we see that we have, you know, we're studying men of God, but we also see women of God, you know, and the same holds true for them. It held true for men of God. They have spirit upon them. They talk for God. They talk with God. Here he gathers all these people, and it says they come to him, the priests and the prophets. So there was other prophets there. It doesn't tell us who they are or what they did, but there were other prophets. You know, when you go through the Old Testament, it's kind of amazing. There was a lot more prophets than you think about. You know, there's certainly the ones that are named and the ones where, you know, they have books that are named for them. But there was a lot of other ones. Verse 3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood up, stood to the covenant. That means, you know, they agreed with him. They stood up. They showed respect. So he made a commitment to God that he was going to lead the people. And so many times the way the king went is the way the people went. I mean, there were instances where people, when the king turned away from God, there were people that stuck with God for sure. But the majority of people followed the king. So, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Bethel is that place where Jacob first saw the angels coming down out of heaven, and he anointed the pile of stones with oil and said, this must be the house of God. He named it Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. The word planets here refers to the signs of the zodiac. Okay? To put down these guys, I'm not sure exactly what it meant. In the NIV, it says he did away with them. In the Septuagint, it says he burned the idolatrous priests. So
the ESV says he deposed
them. Deposed them, yeah. Deposed. Another place it does say that he did kill them. He had them, you know, had their heads chopped off or whatever. Well, they deserved it.
Yeah.
And he brought out of the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the woman wove hangings for the grove. These guys were all involved in idolatry and idolatrous worship. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and the defiled high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba and Beersheba, and break down the high places and the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua and the governor of the city, which were on the man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord of Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might take his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. I think that goes back to the Philistines. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. That means, you know, they used them for the worship of the sun god. at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs and which burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And the altars that were on top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Did a lot of stuff. He's hard working. And he brake the pieces of images and cut down the groves and filled their bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high places which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it into small powder and burned the grove. And that's something we looked at back in Kings. Remember, the unnamed prophet came and Jeroboam was there and he said, the altar will crack and the ashes fell to the ground. And he prophesied of Josiah by name, which was pretty amazing. And Josiah himself turned himself. He spied the sepulchers that were there in the mountain, sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. That's referring to that prophecy about 150 years before. Then he said, what title is that that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God which came down from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. Wow. And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophets that came out of Samaria. And all the houses of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all that the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. So here it says he slew the priests. Well, I don't know. He probably had somebody else do it. There's a verse, don't go there, but in 2 Chronicles 34:33, it says, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. So that's what he did. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of Judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah. So they went from the Exodus, and maybe they did a couple of Passovers during the Judges' time, and then from then all the way through to Josiah, they never did, even David never did the Passover. It's amazing. So, verse 23, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with their familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him, okay, this is great. This is the verse that sets him apart. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. What an incredible verse for to speak of a man. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from his fierceness of his great wrath, wherein his anger was kindled against Judah because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And that was Josiah's father. And even though Manasseh turned back to God, but he was so upset. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah out of my sight as I have removed Israel. I will cast off the city Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And it goes, and that's it. So, and that's where we'll stop.